Very interestingly, I had talked to one of the sages in India, and I asked him how old you are. The way he answered was really got my attention. He said, this body is 78 years old. So he separated himself from the body.
Raja Sharma is my guest. Give us your background.
I am actually from India. I came to U.S. in 1980. And for the last 30 years, I have lived, been in the restaurant business. I used to be a chef by profession. And I studied back home to be a culinary chef. And restaurant and cooking was my passion. So I lived the American dream. I came here, lived in Alaska, lived in Oregon. I had a restaurant. I had several restaurants, so I've lived the American dream, what you call the white picket fence and house and cars and boats and everything else. Then I experienced the American nightmare. What people don't generally like to talk about is something that we all go through here because the way we are living here in the Western world is more focused on manifesting things, manifesting the money, the houses and the cars and all that. We are so focused on creating that. And a lot of times what happens is when we are so focused, we lose the track of the real life that we are here for, and that is to raise our consciousness. And so when I lost everything and lived that American nightmare, I started searching for answers, and that's how I ended up developing my system called Zero Point Matrix and how to manifest. So again, when I came back up again, I learned and how to manifest things the real way. And that is basically what I start bringing back to the people, how the process of manifestation comes across. So in those years, I think it was around 2006 or somewhere, where the law of attraction was getting very popular and a lot of people were following it. And I was one of those people as well. So I thought, here, there is a simple answer. The secret is out. We can, you know, just start focusing on things and think about it, and everything will fall back to normal. But then I started realizing that it doesn't actually work that way. And I think a lot of your listeners would agree with me that it's not as easy as looking at your dream boards or just, you know, doing your affirmation. There is something more beyond it. And so that is what my search was about. When we think about the process of manifestation, we think that, okay, it's all about setting out an intention, putting your attention to it, and getting into the vibration, and that will actually create the manifestation process. But in reality, what happens, we come in our own way of creating that negative energy with our mind. So the most important part of the manifestation is once you set out your intention, you focus on it, but you are not energetically involved with it. You are just setting your mind aside, so your negative thoughts do not come in and create that energy that actually is blocking. In a way, you can say it's blocking the blessing that you are getting, trying to manifest things, and then you are in your own way because you are not sure whether it is coming or it's not coming. So in a way, you are doubting the universal powers that are giving you the gifts, but you are still doubting it.
See, that's, I think, a part of the secret. It wasn't very well laid out. Everybody has a set point that they're currently at, what they believe, and then coming at it from the secret thing of, okay, now, this is what you can have. Just think every day, I am wealthy, I am healthy. And at the same time, in their mind, they're going, yeah, that's a load of crap.
Right.
It's like, whoops, that energy just took it away.
Right. And so basically, I mean, when we really sit and look at it, I mean, if you get to the really depth of everything, that when we are saying everything in the world is made of energy, and everybody talks about your inner world creates your outer world, but nobody actually talks about how to navigate in the inner world. So let's suppose if somebody wants to become a basketball player, they have to go on the court and practice. They cannot just be reading books about playing basketball or to become a great cook or a chef. You cannot just read books about the recipe. You have to actually get in the kitchen. So if we are saying your manifestation process is your inner world creating your outer world, then you actually have to go your in your inner world, and you have to understand that energy or how your inner world works, and you have to navigate there. But most of the time when we start to go in our inner world, your conscious mind is taking over, and you cannot put that on the side. So my whole process or my whole endeavor to bring this to the world is to focus on helping people how to set the mind aside and then let the manifestation process take care of itself. Just like, you know, the parents take care of the children without really having to worry about it. So if we look at the bigger sense of it, if you believe whether it is God or the higher spirit or whatever you call it, there is an energy that actually is going to take care. I think human species is the only one that really gets in their own way. If you look at, you know, the animals or the plants or anything, I mean, you put a seed in the ground and you naturally allow it to grow, it is going to grow. But the humans, we come in our own way. We want to become a doctor. We want to become an engineer. The social conditioning, the peer pressure is so much that we are forced to go in certain directions rather than our natural abilities coming across. And I think it's starting to change where people are starting the more towards understanding their own consciousness of what they are here, what is the real purpose, and how they can grow and how they can align it. Because unless and until you are aligned with your natural gift, because that actually is the vehicle for you to achieve fulfillment in life. I mean, if you take any basketball player or football player or people like Steve Jobs or anybody, Tiger Woods, any of these people, they have found their natural gift and they have expanded on that. And that is what has created the wealth and joy and happiness in life. So we all have a gift. It's just a matter of us understanding or finding that gift.
Your zero-point matrix, the technology to help people reach self-mastery, how does that work?
Well, the zero point actually is a system. It's a very simple but dynamic system. What I say is, let's suppose if somebody is at a negative 10 and they want to go to a positive 10. So they have to go from negative minus 9 to minus 8 to minus 7, minus 6, like that. And you reach to a plateau of a zero point. This is when you start to rise from minus to plus. So that zero point is very much important point, that layout, that threshold. So we all have a threshold in our life that we are so conditioned and we cannot seem to get passed over. So for us to clear anything, you have to become a zero. You have to empty yourself before you can start learning and moving in the positive direction. In other words, if I were to say that we all have past conditionings in our life that we are so stuck on, okay, I can do only so much, or this is what I am worth, the self-worth and all the childhood conditioning is what is stopping you from going to the next level. So basically your subconscious conditioning is what is holding you there. If you look at it in another aspect, it is nothing but energy that is holding you back. So you have to release that negative energy that is holding you back. Once you have that, then you can go to the next level very easy, because now you can openly see what your gifts are, what you are supposed to align with, and then automatically the doors start to align and open up.
So when somebody starts, you give them a test so that they can understand where they are on the chart you're talking about?
Yeah, it's a discovery test. What we go through is a discovery session. So once people understand what is it in their life, what they are looking for, because not necessarily, sometimes we are thinking, okay, oh, I just want the money. And so you're so focused on money, 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 but you don't realize that, okay, whatever you want could come in a different way. Let's suppose if you are wanting to go to New York, and you want money, actually, you are thinking, oh, I want the money, but actually you want to go to New York, you want the money to buy the ticket so you can sit on the plane and you can actually go. So So it's actually the money behind that, the reason behind wanting what we want. So we get so stuck on making the money, but your real goal actually is to reach New York for whatever purpose you want to be there. So we get so focused on manifesting other things rather than your real life goal. So whole idea is for you to understand what your real calling in life is. Why are you here on this earth? I mean, obviously, it's not about money or health or anything, because none of this stuff goes with you to the other side. You are not here just to make the money or, you know, build houses or, you know, get cars and boats and everything else. Because if that is not going with you, you didn't come with it. Evidently, there must be a higher purpose to it. So that higher purpose is your expansion of your consciousness, of your understanding at your level, whatever level you are at. And once you find that level or your understanding, then all of a sudden, everything will start to align. So finding your real cause is the most important thing.
A lot of people attach that to a job or certain type of profession. Can you address that?
Yeah, what happens is, you know, again, like I said earlier, is a lot of it is the social conditioning. You know, I come from India where so much emphasis is given on being a doctor or being an engineer, because in our society, those levels, they make good money, and there is good money associated with it, there is fame associated with it. All that stuff is given because of the social conditioning. And we assume that, okay, once we reach there, we will find happiness and success and fulfillment. But I have seen a lot of people that are successful financially, but yet they are feeling unfulfilled in their life, or their marriage is in disaster, or they have a very disastrous relationship with the children, or the children are on drugs because they did not get enough attention. So a lot of these issues are coming because we are socially conditioned to believe that, okay, money is the one that... Most of the time when we talk to people that who you are, they will say, okay, I am, for example, if you ask me, I'll say, oh, I'm Raja and I do such and such things. But these are just the things that I do, or this is my name. Very interestingly, I had talked to one of the sages in India, and I asked him how old you are. The way he answered was really got my attention. He said, this body is 78 years old. So he separated himself from the body. And it's the same way we should separate ourselves from our body, our material possessions, our cars, and, you know, our relations.
RajaSharma.com is the website, Yoga for the Mind. And I like the way you call it mindless creation. Now, when you're saying getting that out of the way and getting people to focus on the breathing, there's another term you called, and you termed it Vitagara. What does that mean?
Vitagara is a universal life force. I mean, in other disciplines, it is called as chi, prana, for example. In the Hindu religion, it's called prana, chi, and several other names. However, I have coined a different name simply because I want to focus on the process of manifestation and how this power or the life force is connected to the manifestation process. When I talk about chi or prana or something, it somehow... has a conditioned mind goes in that religion. Okay, now I'm talking about religion. So I wanted to separate that. The Vitagara is a universal life force that is present in everything. Whether that object is latent or, I mean, in certain things it is in a latent form. For example, if you take a seed, it already has the Vitagara. It has the life force in it, but it is not in a latent form yet. But when you put that seed in the ground and you put water into it and you give it sunlight, then all of a sudden it starts to sprout. So the life force is there, but unless it is in the right condition, it does not start to grow. Same way, we use this life force for everything. We are connected with that force. Some people call it Kundalini energy. I hear a lot of people talk about the Kundalini energy. Same thing is the single energy that connects everything. Now, if you take the water And when it evaporates, it turns into cloud, and the clouds goes and then turns into the rain. The rain, the water goes into the rivers goes to the ocean, and then again the water evaporates. So it's the same cycle, it's the same water. Now we take the same water and we can create electricity out of it by, in the hydropowers. It's the same way we drink the water. So that force is already in the water. We are drinking the same water and we create the electricity out of that. Same way out of the windmills, the electricity is created, but we breathe the same air. So there is some force that is present in all the elements, and we use all the elements on a day-to-day life. So my idea is how to separate this force and connect with it so you can use it for your personal growth. Just like the electricity is created and you are, out of the water and you drink the same water. So that element is going within your body. It's just a matter of learning how to focus on it and how to expand that energy for your personal growth.
I'll go back to Yoga for the Mind, where you talk about a three-step process here for manifestation: intention, attention, and vibration. And I like the thing vibration, because that's what this breathing is about. It's getting yourself, and to me, it's more or less being at a set point of being comfortable, of being in sync, in the flow, in rhythm with whatever it is that you are hoping and working and gearing yourself up to be part of or have as part of your life experience. Can you give an example when you shifted from being the restaurateur, and having that, the American nightmare, as you said? I think that isn't necessarily, I mean, for me, that's like a way of proving to ourselves that having all that stuff wasn't necessarily the whole point. It was, I had it, I don't have it anymore, but I may be even happier as a result. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, you still, in a way, I have everything that I had then. I have it again now, but that what I had connected myself was with the restaurant, that I am a restaurateur. And that's the only way I can make money. For example, if somebody is a doctor and that's the only thing that they can do, for you to realize that you can do more, sometimes you are so thick-brained that it does not go through you. So the universal is smarter than you, so it takes away, like the parents would take away the toy to discipline the child for a moment.
Yes.
In the same
yes.
way, gods or the higher spirits or the source energy has given you this gift. And now they take it away. All of a sudden, you start realizing that, okay, there is something bigger than me, because your ego is so inflated at that time that, okay, oh, I'm the CEO, I am this, I am that. And all of a sudden, unless that moves aside, you don't realize that, okay, there is something bigger, higher power at play. You know, in my seminar, sometimes I bring out this analogy of a fish. For, like if you talk to a goldfish about a big fish in the river, it probably won't believe, because the goldfish has only seen the house. It has been in a bowl. Or the fish in the river never has seen a big ocean or the big whales. So they won't believe that it's there, but we know that the higher powers are there. It's the same way. It's a matter of expanding our awareness and allowing our mind to think that, okay, there is a higher power, or there is more to the world than just me, what I understand.
You mentioned on your blog about the vortex, and the zero point is the gateway to the vortex. What does that mean?
What I am talking about, the vortex, is an energy, a state of energy that you put yourself into, like a spiral of energy. Basically, if you are wanting something or you want to manifest something in your life, you have to become that thing or that person, whoever you want to become, whatever you want, you have to attract that thing in your life. But what happens is we create this energy vortex with our mind, with our thoughts. So if you have a negative thought, for example, when you are going for an interview and for a job interview, and if you are already thinking negative, then all of a sudden you are creating that energy in your body. You are in that vortex of energy that actually is creating a shield. So the person who is going to interview is going to feel that energy. It's a very subconscious. We don't pay attention to it all the time. But this is like when you meet somebody on the street, automatically you have a liking or you have a certain resistance about them. Or sometimes when somebody says negative things about you, it creates a block. It creates a negative energy. So focusing on your mind, what kind of thoughts you are thinking, and being in the present moment makes you realize that you are thinking negative or positive. And by switching that thought, you create a shift in your energy. And that is how you are attracting more things in your life. So just like law of attraction states that like attracts like. If you have negative energy, negative thoughts, then you are either focused, for example, on manifestation. You are focused on the lack of something or on the abundance of something. So whatever you are focused is going to attract or come to your life. So basically, the vortex is the same thing. The zero point is the state of mind where you have no thoughts. Your mind is quiet, and you can go under that in a negative form, or you can go above it in a positive form. And what happens is with your thoughts, you can create a shift in the frequency of your body, your thoughts, your environment, your aura, and basically it changes your... In other ways, if I were to say it, some people have a great aura about themselves, or what we call charismatic powers. And that is because their thoughts are so pure, they are so clean, that it automatically attracts people to them. People, things, and circumstances get attracted to them. We think that, okay, they are lucky, but actually it's everything to do with their aura, their energy that is created by thinking.
If you're already in that mindset of it won't work, I can't, how do you get them out of that?
Everything is based on awareness. If you are aware that this is possible or somebody else has done it and you can do it, it is all about knowledge, understanding that if somebody else has done it, that means it can be done. Now, if they can do it, you should be able to do it too, because no human, physically, if you look at it, we all are the same. We all have two hands, two legs, you know, most of the time, you know, five fingers and same anatomy of the body, yet some people are very much more successful than the others. The idea being their mindset is what creates everything. So your mind, if you really look into the deeper part of it, what basically is the mind? Mind is something different than what we call brain, because brain is physical part of your body, that if you have a brain tumor, you can operate on your head and take out the tumor out of the brain. But when we talk about mind, even though we point towards our head, mind is not actually a part of your physical body. The mind is something that is outside of you, that's your thoughts. You are connected with the universe through those thoughts, through the mind. And the mind, whether you look at your subconscious mind, your conscious mind, or the universal mind, the mind of God, the supreme power, whatever it is, you are connected with that through your mind, but that is not a part of your body. So first of all, you have to understand that you are not living within your body. You are outside of. This is something so controversial that you can talk for ages about this. Never find the answer, because there is no real one true answer. It's what you believe, how you feel. Because for my understanding, what I see and understand, that brain is separate from the mind. The mind is outside of your body. And that is what connects you to the other people, that connects you with the universe, that connects you with the nature.
The avatar that you talk about, I think that's a great tool. Could you share that?
I believe in each religion has a different way of explaining things. Because our human mind is so limited, that in the past, the sages or, you know, our forefathers have put this, or whoever even created the books. I mean, the religions are created by human beings. God did not create the religions. The religions are created by humans. God just created the humans. So whether you look at Christianity or the Muslim religion or the Hindu religion or Jainism, and there's a lot of other religions, I and want to believe that each of this religion, each of the books from one, all of these religions are kind of a symbology. So when we talk about in the Hindu religion about the avatar, it is simply because we want, our mind is so used to seeing pictures and understanding things. If it is something that is not seen by the mind, it will not accept it. It is very hard for the mind to accept that. So we create an avatar for everything. For example, if somebody wants money or wealth, then there is a deity for wealth. If somebody wants power, then there is a deity for power, a god that was very powerful and strong. So now there is a way to identify yourself and give your mind an image that this is what you want. So scientifically, when you look at the law of attraction, if like attracts like, and you have to have a clear picture of what you want, so then avatar is the one that you have to create. Avatar is a word that comes from the Sanskrit part of it. Avatar means that it is a manifested form of something that you want.
My grandmother, when I was little, that she was told in some of the readings that she was doing at the time, that if she wanted something, to draw a picture of it. And she wanted to relocate, so she drew a picture of the house being moved. And it worked.
It's amazing. It's, you know, I mean, when you sit and really look at the dream boards and everything, I mean, there are now, you can actually, you know, there is several websites that you can create. They create your dream boards and everything, and they put music and everything behind that. The whole idea is for your mind to accept it. The mind is your best friend, or it can be your worst enemy. So, you know, it's, the sooner you learn how to deal with your mind, the better it is.
See, I look at it as a program, and you can either say, I will go with that, or I don't want to. And then you have to deprogram yourself if it's been in there for a long time, like when you're a child and you're told certain things you can do, you can't do, all of these things are impossible, or, you know, whatever that is. You can go in and say, that isn't true for me. You have to actively disengage it because it's been put in there before you had the ability to say, uh-uh, no.
It's all about conditioning, right? It's all about conditioning. It's, I mean, just like any muscles, you know, we have to work with it and you have to constantly stay after it. And when we are talking about, I don't know how many, the numbers of thoughts that a human being gets in a day, I think it was 40,000 thoughts. And that is something that we just go through in a day, not understanding how much connection or how much information we are getting through the universe. But we, our brain processes only so many. I think 2,000 thoughts per day. I don't remember exactly, but something like that. You know, I mean, it's a very insignificant amount of the thoughts that your brain can process compared to what information you are getting from outside world. Plus, you know, what has happened in our age, I mean, we call it an information age. It's, I mean, things are changing so fast. I mean, a few years ago, you would have never thought. I remember I think it was 68, my brothers had come. They were the first one to come to U.S. from my family. And we had to go to the post office to talk to my brother on the phone. And we'll stand in line for about 45 minutes, and then they will connect. It was like those telegraphic machines, you know, like in the military they use. So it was like those were the days. But now when you sit and think about it, the technology has grown so fast. I mean, you have your computers in your hand, in your, you know, in your phone. It's the smartphones, the smart cars, the smart bombs, you know, the GPS, everything is there. The technology has grown so much. But a few years ago, we would not have realized that this can happen.
It wasn't okay to use calculators in school, and now everybody can.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, without the computers, you don't feel like, you know, my daughter, when she went to college, I mean, all of a sudden, it was actually, this was just a few years ago, it was a necessity. Computers became necessity. It was just like, you have to buy so many books for your curriculum. You have to have a computer. Without that, you are lost, actually.
When you are working with your program, again, rajasharma.com, if you're following along, what's the first step?
The first step is for them, you know, to understand what I am talking about, open themselves and be aware of that there's a universal energy out there. I teach people how to incorporate the breathing and how to work with the universal energy, how to connect with that energy, so they can find their divine purpose for whatever reason they are here. The whole idea of manifesting is make it easier so you don't have to struggle in your life, no matter what you are struggling with, whether it is money, whether it is relationship, your health. We have to first have a clear understanding those challenges are there for us to grow, not to defeat us. You don't want to get defeated with those challenges. You want to grow from it. So that's the vehicle that we have had or we have been given to understand how to get better and how to grow from it. So in my classes, in my seminar, I talk about how to work with these challenges, how to find your divine purpose, how to connect with the energy, how to use the breathing techniques to get to the next level, to have a clear understanding, to shift the energy so it goes into a positive zone rather than being stuck in a negative, self-defeating behaviors and beliefs.
When you went to the sage, did you ask them other questions?
Actually, I had one interesting incident that I would want to share with you. Was I had one of the entities came to me in, I was at that time in Indianapolis, Indiana. This person came to me. He had something about himself that I cannot explain, very hard to explain. But that person was able to, whether harness my thoughts or he was able to see what I was thinking. I mean, he knew things about me that was really, really strange. And I still, when he left, he told me that when he came in, the first thing he told me that I'm here to give you some answers. The second part he told me that once I leave, you're going to keep on looking for me all over, all your life. And I'm still, for this day, I'm still looking for that person. But he blessed me with so much stuff and so much. That person kind of knew everything about me. And I thought, well, strange, maybe he might have found this stuff out. And so I was still not a believer. And he saw that. And he says, okay, I'm going to tell you something that will make sure that you believe in me. And he did. Actually, he told me what I ate for dinner the night before. Really strange. And except for my family, nobody knew what I ate for dinner night. And that guy, actually, when I went to India, I happened to go to that particular ashram. It's in North India. And when I went to that lady in that ashram, she said, there are so many spirits like that that goes, takes forms, and this is what they do. They pass on the information. This person, actually, spirit, actually had taken the form of a body. And it, I am still to this day trying to understand how that could have happened. So, I mean, this technology is so advanced that, you see it in that sci-fi movie. I think it was the Star Wars. I'm sorry, I'm not a very big follower of that. But I had seen some of the episodes where they appear from one place to another place. It was like that. And actually, I saw that in my real life. So that was one strange thing. I know that power is there. I just haven't been able to get to it yet.
I think there's a saying that it isn't about how to define life. Ours is, or understand the miracle. Ours is just to enjoy it and explore it. And with you having visitors, I know that that experience, it's like, how is this possible? And when your mind is blown like that, it makes you curious, or it makes me curious. I get so much more enthusiasm having those kinds of experiences that we are experiencing amazing times, and that there is more of that to come. It doesn't just happen for no reason. It happens to give us a taste of what we are working and growing into, in my belief.
Oh, absolutely. And I really admire the kind of work that you do. I mean, bringing this knowledge out to so many thousands and millions of people, and through your program that you do. Because I think the time has come where we have to start realizing that this is not, it's not about, I think a few years ago, people will think it's a competitive. Now people are starting to think that it's complementary. I've had a couple of offers from other people to go and talk to their groups. A few years ago, this wouldn't have happened. But now, you know, people like yourself, myself, and other people who are bringing this knowledge out, starting to realize that we are just playing a small role in a big play. And it is all about collective energy and the collective consciousness that has to rise rather than just limited to one person. Or it's not about one person or one country or one city. It is about the whole universe. And everybody has to move together. And I believe it's like when we don't start working together, the universe will either give us some kind of calamity or something happens, something bad happens, and then all of a sudden people forget. You know, like, for example, 9/11 happened. We did not realize who is what religion, or people just started helping each other. So in those kind of circumstances, when we just put your mind aside, you're conditioned, you know, who I am and this and that, I'm just a human being loving each other and just start doing things, then all of a sudden everything changes, the consciousness rises, and then we start seeing bigger. And so unfortunately, we have to go through these things, this kind of calamities, for us to start working together. You know, I'm starting to see that more and more people, they are bringing this knowledge to the world so people can join hands together.
My goal and my belief is that we are here to learn that we do not have to manufacture a crisis in order to learn how to be more complementary and compatible and compassionate towards each other. I think that's where we're, that's my heart tells me that we will get beyond the need to have these catastrophes. And maybe not here, but this is where we start.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And I mean, you can look at, you know, that at whatever level you are looking at. I mean, bottom line is we still have to come together. I mean, it is, like you said, it's complementary. We are complementing each other. It's not about competition. It's about working together.
It's nice when we can connect with people who are seeing these anomalies, like with that experience you had of somebody coming to you and saying, you'll be looking for me forever, and you will.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that is true. That is so true. It's, you know, but the good part is, you know, I mean, it's growing. So there is more and more people becoming aware of something bigger, better out there, and, you know, letting themselves go and trying to indulge in this spirit, in this energy. You know, we are surrounded by energy, but we don't realize it. When you sit and think about it, I don't know if the fish would realize that they are living in water. They are surrounded by water. In the same way, we are surrounded by this energy. That energy,
yes,
is wonderful, and it's intelligent, you know.
RajaSharma.com. There is so much more to our reality than we can see. Thanks for listening.